Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
We love that song. I know you love it. We love it too. Well, me again, Margaret. You got me 2 weeks in a row, whether you want me or not. But I'm glad to be with you. I do not like being with you because of the circumstances that I'm with you for. I'm a preacher and a youth pastor, but Pastor Dave's my pastor too, and I love to hear him preach too. I tell him that all the time. So let's pray for him. I know he'd love to be here with us. But we're gonna carry on in his stead, and I know God's got us a great job. I don't get to say this much, so I'm gonna say it now. I don't know where he went. But great job, Chris Ogle, because I never give him any credit for anything. So I constantly find something to dog him about. So great job, Chris Ogle, this morning. He may never get to hear that from me again, so I thought I'd say it. So I will share this with you, and I'm going to move along today. But I often wondered when I quit playing sports if I would ever have that feeling. When we used to walk out of the locker room up there, Gatlinburg-Pittman, when I played football, there's nothing like that door opening and those cleats on that pavement. There's not right. I know these two boys right here know what I'm talking about. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that feeling, and those cleats hitting that pavement walking down through there. And I often wondered, would I ever get to feel that again? And, man, when I preach, right before I preach, I get that feeling. I love it. I absolutely love it. I probably bounce Melanie off the pew up here. My legs get to shaking. I start getting fired up. So I'm glad to get to be here today. Hey, let's do pray for David, and let's pray. Hey, guys, there's a lot of folks in our county that have this right now. Okay? That's just the reality of the situation. There's a lot of folks. You probably know somebody. Well, if you know Pastor Dave, I know you know somebody, but you probably know somebody in your circle right now that has this or has had it. So let's continue to pray for those folks, okay? But where I want to go today, and let's stand and we'll read the word. If you would stand with me. I'm not going to call anybody out, but if you were watching last week, I should ask who actually stood up in their house, okay? When I said, I see some people smiling, I got a feeling some folks didn't stand. I told Pastor Dave I was going to do that, and he said, well, I'm going to be in my pajamas. And I said, stand up anyway. So let's read the word. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll give everybody just a second to get there. And I don't even know. I don't even know if I told them back there what I was doing. So they may not even have it. But we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She's referring to that Elijah was responsible for killing all her prophets, okay? For killing all those fake gods that they had. And when he saw that, he arose and went forth for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay asleep under the juniper tree, behold, the angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. God, in a world that I think maybe we went past chaos, God, you are our rock. You are the one we lean to. You are the one we look to. And as we look into your word today and we see how Elijah handled this situation, and we talk about how we need to handle the situations in our lives, be with us today. Let us hear your word clearly today. Lord, I pray right now that you'd forgive me of my sins. I know I'm not worthy to get to walk up those steps and stand at this stand. I know that, God. I know you are the only one worthy. But today, use me. Use me, Lord, as your mouthpiece. As Brother Chris said, set me over here to the side somewhere, and you speak what you want to be spoke today. God, we love you. We thank you. We ask you to bring Brother David back Wednesday, strong and ready to go, Lord, as we carry on. And be with all those out there right now, God, that are facing sickness, whether it be COVID or something else, you know. And be with those right now that go through the holiday season that have a rough time, God. Be with those folks too. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things we ask in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. One thing I want to talk about real quick before we get started is Brother Chris said something about it. Hey, be praying about the 20th. That offering goes to David, you know, and that's a big deal to me. But you be praying about what you can do there on the 20th. We're going to look here at Elijah for a minute. Now, we see Elijah right here in a pretty rough spot. He says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. What she was saying was, you killed my folks, now I'm going to kill you. Now I'm going to get after you. I can't imagine what Elijah felt at that very moment. I personally have never been in a position where I felt like somebody was going to take my life, like take me out of this world. I have been in some very stressful situations, though, okay? And that's where I'm headed today. Elijah found himself in a very stressful situation. He found himself in a position where I can't imagine what that felt like. I mean, the lady Jezebel says, I'm coming after you. I will find you. If it's the last thing I do on the face of the earth, I'm taking you out. How must he have felt? Anguish, stressed, overwhelmed, overtaken by fear, consumed. All right? Do you feel a little bit like that right now sometimes? Not that somebody's saying they're coming to get your life, but you know what? Here lately, golly, last week, everything I heard and everything I was around was negative. It seemed like everybody I was hearing from, I was hearing negative news. You ever been there? You ever just heard negative news all the time? You ever just been in a position where it seems like negative news never quits? I mean, every day last week I was hearing about somebody new that had COVID. Every day last week I was hearing about somebody that had something going wrong with their life, that somebody heard something on the news that was horrible. And I can't imagine, it's so hard right now. It's so hard because we have so much weighing down on us. And I thought about Elijah and how he had this weighing down on him. And today, here's what I want to look at. First of all, I want to look at how did Elijah handle this moment? How did Elijah handle this moment? And then here's where I want to go to. What should Elijah have remembered when he got to this moment about God that he didn't remember? Because you know what? We're in stressful times right now, okay? You go to work. Golly, this COVID thing, I'm just going to tell y'all. It is so, I mean, you never know what to do. Do you go get tested? Do you not go get tested? You walk in the grocery store, you're standing there and somebody sneezes and you go, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. Got to go over here to this aisle. You get over here to this aisle and the guy standing beside you goes, and you're, oh gosh, I'm ordering online. I'll just pick it up. It's crazy, you know? And then there's all these rules. There's all the rules that go with COVID. And there's this many days and that many days and this and that. And man, it's stressful. It's stressful, you know? Life's stressful. And then we get all this negative news on social media. And it's real easy right now, if we're not careful, it's real easy right now to buckle under the pressure. Look what Elijah done. Now, we got to remember, and we're going to go back here in just a minute, but Elijah had just seen some of the greatest miracles happen in his life that God could perform. And then he gets some adversity in his life, and what does Elijah do? It says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. You know what he did? He quit. He said, to heck with it. He quit. He said, I'm scared to death and I'm getting out of here. I'm just going to hang it up. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. It's too much. I'm tired of dealing with it. The fear, the worry, the thought of what Jezebel was going to do to him, the thought of what was coming upon his life, it was more than he could handle. So he hit for the hills. He said, I'm going to go build me a tiny house over here under a juniper tree and live there the rest of my life, okay? He got out of there, okay? Even though he had just experienced calling on God. Oh, here we go again with this thing. Okay, I think I got it fixed. Ryan Ogle laughed at me one Sunday, all Sunday, about this thing. He's slapping back there right now. I wish the camera could pan back there to him. So, you know, he just gave up. Even though he had just seen, he's told all those prophets of Baal before, he said, you call on your God and I'm going to call on my God and let's see which one shows up. And which God showed up? Elijah's God showed up, the only God, because there was no other gods. And then he showed up again and brought rain. And then he showed up again and gave Elijah extraordinary speed to get out in front of him and make it over there before Ahab did. Yet he gets in this moment where adversity comes into life and all of a sudden he just says, it's too much, I'm quitting. And he puts God on the shelf and he decides to make his own journey. We do that so many times. It's so easy right now to be stressed out. Why did he do that? Why did he make that decision? You know why? First of all, he's human, okay? He's human. He got scared. But you know what he did? He focused on the things that were attacking him more than the thing that could save him. Everybody hear that? He focused on all the negative instead of focusing on the one positive thing. You ever done that? Boy, I have. You ever got bad news on Monday, bad news on Tuesday, bad news on Wednesday, and by Thursday, you've said, you know what? I can't handle this no more. I'm checking out, okay? I'm just not going to answer the phone anymore. I'm not going to talk to anybody anymore. You know, stress and worry and fear can physically enable you, okay? Y'all, everybody needs to hear this. If you have stress or you have depression, or you have anxiety, or you have some, it can physically paralyze you. This moment physically paralyzed Elijah. It physically paralyzed him to where he said, I'm going to run away from my problems, because all he was focusing on was the problem. He wasn't focusing on the solution, okay? And that's what happens to us. We start focusing on all the negative things we can't control, and then all of a sudden we're in a really bad place, okay? So, here's what I want to look at. I want to look at three things Elijah should have remembered. I want to look at three things Elijah should have remembered, okay? He should have remembered a couple things before he made that move. Now, if we read and we study in the scripture, and when I study some commentaries on this and some of the notes, some of the sermon notes that I've got and some other material that I've got on this situation, some say that was punishment for the way Israel was acting, was that Elijah had to go out into the wilderness and be banished like that. You know, some say that it was just a cowardice act, that he couldn't handle the thought of what Jezebel's going to do to him and the pressure that was on him, so he just ran, you know. For whatever reason, though, he ran, and I tend to think it's because he was scared to death and that he let it get to him. So here's what I want to do. I want to go back here. The first thing that he should have remembered is God called him. In that moment, he should have remembered that he was God's, that God called him. Jezebel didn't call him. Death didn't call him. Sickness didn't call him. Stress and worry didn't call him. God called Elijah. That's who called Elijah. He should have remembered that. Back here in 17, and Elijah and the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilgad, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, who came unto Elijah saying? The Lord. The Lord was, Elijah knew the Lord. He knew God. He was a called man of God. He knew who God was. He heard what God said. He should have remembered in that very moment that he was God's. Now, I want to read this. Brother Tim read this the other day when he was preaching on Wednesday night. And I want to read this because we need to remember this. We need to remember that in these stressful times we're in, these things have I spoken unto you, John chapter 15, unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all these things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Listen to this right here. You need to remember this. When hard times come in your life and the pressure cooker is on for you, remember this. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Elijah did not choose God, but God chose Elijah. Guess what that meant for Elijah? That he had God on his side. He had the wherewithal to stand up to Jezebel. He had the wherewithal to fight those battles. He didn't have the strength to, but God did, and he was God's. If you're here today and you're a born-again Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you didn't choose him. He chose you. You didn't wake up one morning and say, you know, I think I'm just going to call on God today. That's not how it works. God came to you. God knocked on your heart. God came into you and said, you know what? I want you to be mine. You can't make it without me. But all of a sudden, when we fall on hard times, we immediately forget what God has done for us. We immediately forget what God's done. And you know what we do? We take God, we put him in the jar, we close the lid up, and we put it on the shelf, and we go out into the world and we say, you know what? I can't make it. Woe is me. Woe is not you if you know God. You have a lifeline to God, the Alpha and the Omega, the best. The first thing you need to do when you get in a stressful situation, you need to remember that you're God's. And you don't need to automatically just tuck tail and run, okay? You need to remember, if Elijah would have just remembered in that moment that he was God's, then he could have stood there and thought, what can God do in this situation? How many times in our lives have we let fear, worry, doubt keep us from experiencing something great. I know I have a lot in my life. I've let fear keep me from experiencing some great things. Because you know what? I thought about what might happen to me more than I thought about what my God could do for me in that situation. And Elijah thought more about that. So am I telling you right now that you need to not worry about COVID and you just need to go out there and do whatever? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, even though we're in stressful times, even though things are tough, we shouldn't just give up, and we should never take God out of the equation. Elijah took God out of the equation and put himself in the equation. The second thing he should have remembered, and I love this one right here, is God never fails. God never fails. He never fails to show up. He never fails to show up on time. He never says something that is false. He will never tell you to do something that is not beneficial to you. He will never make a promise to you and not keep it. Now, this morning, I got to be God for just about, what was it, Andy, about 20 seconds today. Andy was talking about communication in his classroom, and he said, I want you to call, and, you know, he's talking about God talking to him, so I got to call and give it my best. Is it Charles Heston? Is that who the actor? And I said, this is God, you know. And he had me on the speakerphone, and I said, I'm telling you to talk about communications today, you know. And so, you know, God, when God speaks or when God sends you somewhere, he's never wrong. He never fails. He never, you know what? Do you think God messed up? Do you think Elijah, who is a called man of God, who had been sent by God, is in the wrong place? If God didn't want him there, he wouldn't be there, okay? If God didn't want you here, you wouldn't be here. You're here because God drew you here. You're here because you love God. You do the things you do. Do singers get up and sing about God just because of, no, they've been called to do that. Okay? God never fails. Listen to what he said over here in 1 Kings 17, 18, or in 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now listen to what he said. He said, go show thyself to Ahab, Elijah, and I will send rain upon the earth. I want to skip over to verse 45 and 18. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. If he says it's going to rain, it's going to rain. If he tells you to do something, you need to do it because it's God telling you to do it. Even though the wind may be blowing, even though there may be adversity when you do it, if God told you to do it, then you need to do it because he's never going to fail you. Elijah should have remembered that. He should have thought in that moment, he told me to go to Ahab and he was going to make it rain, and I went to Ahab and he made it rain. He told me to call upon him and he would help me, and I called upon him and he helped me. How soon we forget as human beings, how soon we forget when adversity comes what God has done for us before. I'm very guilty of that. I'm very guilty of something coming on me, some kind of adversity, something in my way, and some reason I forget about all the miraculous things God has done in my life before. I just shove those to the side. You know why? Because all I want to focus on is what might happen to me. Sometimes I think I want to be in a bad mood. That sounds weird. You know what I mean? You ever just want to be in a bad mood? I've been that way before, you know, where I want I want to kind of be in a pity party. I want to throw my own little pity party, you know? Oh, only if everybody knew what I went through. You know, only if they could ever figure out what I went through. They have no clue what I go through, okay? Anybody ever, I see a lot of people grinning. I got a feeling them conversations take place in their homes, don't they? Yeah, well, yeah, only if you knew what my day was like today, you know? And sometimes we get there, and we want to stay in that pity party, you know? And all of a sudden, we start listing all these things off that happened to us today. Well, you know what? I went in, and that person was talking about me. And then I ordered my lunch, and I ordered a sandwich and fries. They didn't bring fries, you know? Well, what's the use of having a sandwich if you ain't going to have fries, you know? And then This thing happened, and then all of a sudden, we're in this woe is me pity party, okay? And you know what we didn't do all day? We didn't remember a thing God did for us the day before. What about the day before when we were having financial problems and just out of the blue, somebody called us and said, hey, God laid it upon my heart to help you. What about the day before when we were needing somebody to pray for us, and all of a sudden Pastor Dave happened to call us on the phone out of the blue and say, you know what, you've been on my mind. I just thought I'd give you a call. I think you need some prayer today. We forget about those things so quick because we're focused on ourselves. If God says it's going to rain, then it's going to rain. If God says you need to go to Richlands Cove Baptist Church and worship, you better get over to Richlands Cove Baptist Church and worship. If God says to go be a teacher, go be a teacher. If God says to drive a bulldozer, go drive a bulldozer, okay? If God tells you to go play ball the best you can. Whatever God tells you to do, you just go and expect for him to take care of the rest because he's done it before. He'll do it again, and he'll always show up. Elijah should have remembered that. He should have remembered that God would show up for him. You think Jezebel's bigger than God? No. No. Do you think if God wanted to show up and protect Elijah, he could have? Yes, he could have. God is always real. Jeremiah 29:11, the famous, I call this the graduation verse. Any graduation invitation you ever get, this verse is on it. So, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has a plan. Guess when his plan started for you? Do you think his plan just started when you made it to your moment of adversity? No. His plan started the day he created you in your mother's womb. He knew then what he had for you. He knew then where he was going to send you. He knew then. You know what? I'll never forget this as long as I live. Bill Hatcher invited my wife and our family to watch Christmas play at Richards Cove Baptist Church. Now, Melanie's getting older, so I can't remember how many years that is, but what was that, 13, 14 years ago? Yeah, or more. And I'll never forget walking. Now, I had no clue. I'm going to be honest. I don't know. I think I had been to y'all's old church before. I don't think I had been to the new church. Okay, and I was out preaching. At that time, I was preaching in a different little church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday. We would start on one end of the county and work our way to the other, okay? And I'll never forget Melanie being exhausted and saying, golly, I wish we could find somewhere to land. I wish we knew what God had for you. It's hard, you know, getting up and going to a new congregation every service, you know. And I had to make sure that I didn't preach the same sermon because a lot of everybody knew the other person in those churches, you know. So, no. But I was having to travel all over the place. And Bill Hatcher invited Melanie Henry and her family to a Christmas play at Richlands Cove Baptist Church. And I'll never forget opening that door, and as I got about three steps in, I don't know why, I remember clear as a bell, God said, this is where you're going to be at. And you may think I'm crazy, but I'm not. He said it. Do you think God just figured that out before I got out of the car? God, every step that I took, He was leading me in this direction. When I opened the door, He finally let me know, hey, buddy, here's where you're going to be at. We got in the car, and I said, this is where we're going to go to church. And Melanie said, no, wait a minute. You say we have to pray about everything. We have to bathe it in much prayer. How do you know? I said, I just know. He said it. He told me. Lo and behold, we started going to church here. Okay? Because God said it. He had a direction for me already. And then this, God's power is real. He should have remembered that God's power is real. So he tells all the prophets of Baal, we're each going to get a bullock. We're each going to lay it on wood. And we're each going to pray that our gods will bring fire to burn it up. So Baal goes out there. He says, you go first. So Baal gets out there, and they lay their bullock on there, and they lay there, and they start praying to their God, and they start begging their gods, and their gods don't respond, and they start whipping themselves, and they start throwing stuff at each other. It's crazy what they started doing. You know, renting their clothes. I mean, they're bleeding. They're begging their God, and their God never shows up. You know why? Their God's not a God. Their God is a made-up thing to make them feel better, to say that's something they worship. Their God is not real. Our God is real, and our God's power is real. The things that God can do are bigger than what a human can do. The situation you're in, God can handle it. What about death, Scotty? He can even handle that. He made a way that even when we expire on this earth, that it's just that old body that goes in the ground. Our soul can go to heaven and live there forever, and we can see each other again. He's took care of all of it. His power is real. It said right here in 1 Kings 18, Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face, and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Elijah should have remembered. He should have remembered in that moment. This literally just happened. This happens. The rain comes, and it says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. All that happened, and then Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, and all of a sudden, he's out of there. How quick are we to give up on God? How quick are we to put Him on the shelf? How quick are we to let the world dictate to us how we're going to feel? Whether we're going to have worry and fear and stress. I'd love to tell you that I would handle this better than Elijah did. I'd love to tell you that. The reality is, they said that, you know, he went into the wilderness. I would have probably went all the way over the mountain, okay? I'd have just kept going, all right? I mean, I let that happen to me a lot. I wish I didn't, but I do. I forget that God called me. I forget that God never fails me. I forget that God's power is real and that He is real. And then the last thing is, I forget that God loves me. You know what? If you're sitting here today, what's one of the greatest things in life is to be loved and wanted, Am I right? I mean, would everybody agree with me on that? It's great to be loved and wanted. You know, it's an awesome thing when you're wanted. You know, when you know somebody loves you, okay? You know, when you know there's somebody out there that loves you and wants you in their lives, hey, it's great to be wanted. It's great just to be picked on the ball team sometimes, you know? You know, this is gonna throw you for a loop. I was not very fast growing up. I know I look fast, but I was not very fast growing up. You know, so what did I always got picked for the games where you hit other people, okay? All right, you know, if we're playing backyard football, get Scotty. He can hit somebody, you know. You know, I never once had the track coach call me and say, hey, Scotty, we'd love to have you come and try out, okay? All right. There's things in life people don't want us for, but there's nothing like being loved and wanted. You know, there's just nothing like it. I think about the love a mother has for her children. You know, and watching my wife raise four daughters and how much she loves them. You know, you can be out in public and somebody can say something about somebody else, you know, and a mom will be like, oh, that was mean. They shouldn't have done that. You know, like, they really shouldn't have done that. Then you have that same person say that about that mama's kids. They will literally be at your house going, hey, me and you need to talk right here real quick, okay? We got an issue. We got a problem, okay? Because they ain't nothing like a mama's love for her kids, okay? They'll literally go to bat for their kids. They'll do anything they've got to for their kids, okay? God loves you. If you're here today and you don't feel like anybody in the world loves you, God loves you. If you're here today and you think, you know what? There ain't nobody even knows about me. There ain't nobody even thinks about me. God thinks about you. God loves you. God created you. Well, I get what you're saying, Scotty, but you don't know how much I've messed up. How could God love me as much as I'm? Listen. God created you. God already knew how much you were going to mess up. He still loves you. Listen to this. Elijah chooses himself over staying in the fight. And by the way, they needed Elijah to stay in the fight right here, okay? Israel needed Elijah to stay in the fight right here. He goes out there and he says, I'm going to die. I'm just going to go out here and wander around the wilderness till I die. And as he lay asleep under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked up, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. God still came to Elijah. He didn't let him go out there and die. He knew where he was going. He knew exactly where he was at. He sent food to him. He sent water to him. Okay? You know why? Because God loved him, and God loves you today. Let's stand as we get ready for the invitation, as they come to sing. Where are you at in life right now? Is the stress of the world, the stress of your life, is it bearing down on you? Does it feel like there's something going on all around you and you can't get any peace? And you just feel like running away? Well, you need to know today if that's where you're at. God loves you, and he wants to help you, and he wants to help you through it. And right here at this altar is the place you need to bring it.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.